The issue that I was trying to focus on is that employers so often say to workers, well, we may pay you less, but the cost of living in Indiana is low, so that's it's not really hurting you. Mm-hmm. You know, think of what it would be like to be living in San Francisco or Boston or Chicago even. So we have a tendency to have low pay because so many people believe the cost of living is low. Well, the real issue is that the cost of living is low is because the wages are low. If you've got the money, will pay more for housing because you're willing to pay more for housing. You're willing to buy better housing, and the market will respond by building better housing. And yes, that becomes more expensive, but that's because you've got the money for it. It's the same way with groceries and other items. The cost of lettuce is about the same everywhere, but the availability of quality food items is not the same everywhere. We now have over there on the west side of the county, we have Whole Foods. Well, Whole Foods has finally come to Lake County. Why is that? It's because they've finally gotten around to recognizing that there's enough money in Lake County in nearby Illinois to support one of their stores. Many people complain that they have to go into Chicago to buy some of the things they want, particularly the high-income people. Well, we just don't have a lot of high-income people in Lake County or Porter County compared to other places. It's the fact that wages are low, salaries are low in Indiana, and then you have to ask the question, why is that? And the answer to that, I think, is that the things that we make, the things that we do, are highly competitive in the world. We don't have a lot of unique things. When you talk about New York, they have the financial center, they have Wall Street. When you talk about Chicago, they're a transportation hub. They're the greatest transportation hub in the United States. You talk about Los Angeles, and they've got the entertainment industry. These are distinctive things. What do we make in Lake and Porter counties? We make things where there is a lot of competition.
One of the other columns that you had out here recently talks about, you're talking, they mentioned about the fact that about the cost of living, and turn it fits in, of course, with because of our cost of living is lower, but we're also getting paid less. And you note that there are some counties in Indiana, maybe not necessarily in Northwest Indiana, but certainly in the rest of the Hoosier State, that aren't getting, on the average, paid very much.
That's right. We have many counties where the products that they produce just aren't highly valued by the marketplace, where there's a lot of competition, where people don't have the education to attract the employers who want to or can pay higher wages. If you've got a county that's loaded with people who have no computer experience because they have very poor internet service, if they have any internet service, then their kids aren't learning about the internet. They're not learning to use computers. They don't have computers in the schools. And they just continue a cycle of low income.
One of the other areas I've noted here, and going along with what you said here, and I've seen recently, and you probably have too, some announcements from some of the rural Southwest Indiana counties saying that we're beefing up to help bring in more economic development into our communities and counties in particular. A rural county, to be sure, Davis County, which is home to a lot of small towns like Odin and other places like that. They're in the area that's not far from Jasper, but just the same, they're out there in I guess, the middle of the great part of the Hoosier State, the quiet wooded part in many places, a lot of farms around, but not many factories.
Well, Davies County, particularly Washington, Indiana, which is the county seat, has been doing a good job over many years in terms of being able to bring in one factory that may produce something, I forget exactly what mm-hmm. it is, but the byproducts of that factory are then used by a factory that's next door. And it goes on the same way. The second factory produces something that can be used by the third factory. And so you get a complex that are using each other's products and makes that county very attractive. The other thing is I-69 goes right outside Washington, Indiana, and US 50 is four lanes over to Vincennes, which gives you access then north and south, not only to Evansville, but all the way up into northwest Indiana and into the Chicago area.
Well, that sounds, this is a perfect example of what county should be doing, like in the case here of Davis County and then the city of Washington in particular. You mentioned having this multiple series of factories that all depend on each other for some kind of feedstock, and the product of which or the waste of which is being used by another. It works out very well. So we should see more counties look very closely at this.
That's one way of doing it. But at the same time, there's a great deal of controversy in Davies County over the Economic Development Corporation and its lack of transparency. There are people who don't want to see Davies County grow so fast, and what they see is the congestion of a small town because there's more traffic, and cities don't build new streets. That's one of the problems that we get. So we get more congestion as we get more economic development, and many people in any community of any size want the place to stay as it is, or even go back to what it was.
We're talking with Indiana economist, writer, and speaker Morton Marcus and some of the Eye on the Pie columns that he's put out recently. Morton, another column here talks a little bit about, I guess the headline to it says, Government Aid to Individuals. Tell us about that, where the idea for that column came from.
Well, we all know that the federal government provides a tremendous amount of money to people. Social Security is the greatest example of that. Now, there are people who believe that Social Security is sort of like a bank account. You put your money in and then you take it out. The truth is that most people get Social Security payments far in excess of what they've put in. That's something that helps older people keep up with changes in prices. Lately, the increases in Social Security have been very limited because we've had very little inflation. But basically, it gives a floor of income to people. And we have to remember that a large number of people do almost no savings for their retirement, and that companies are cutting back on their pension programs. In fact, some companies have cut out having any kind of pension. What they do is they encourage their employees to put money into the stock market in a 401k program or something like that. Well, that's a very risky kind of thing to do. The stock market has a good record, but it's highly volatile at times also. And when you need the money, the stock market can be down. You have to hope for long-term gains, which means you have to hope for more productivity in the labor force. The other thing is we have Medicare and we have Medicaid. Medicare and Medicaid are basically payments for medical services, which means the money doesn't go to the people who are getting the benefit of it. The money actually is going to the medical profession, the healthcare providers. And it makes it possible for the healthcare providers to raise their billings because they know the government's going to pick that up. That's one of the central issues that we've got right now with this whole healthcare debate, is how do we cut the prices, the amount of money that's going to our doctors, that's going to our hospitals. Nobody wants to say that that's really where the problem is that we're spending a lot of money. We talk about the costs of healthcare, but we don't tell, who's doing the billing to Medicare and Medicaid, who are the ones who are actually getting the money. It is a great service to the individual, but it's also a tremendous amount of subsidy to the whole healthcare industry and the insurance industry.
A related topic that you have in another column coming up that has come out here in July talks about being alone and aging and if it's a problem for Indiana. That's an interesting column. You kind of take it with the interesting allegory with one of the characters that you often mention in the columns here to get people's attention. This gentleman who calls himself or is called by his friends the Duke of Dinwiddie. We know where Dinwiddie is, and obviously you do too, of course. But the interesting thing you talk about being alone and getting older, and how does this all fit in together with what you usually talk about?
Well, we just don't realize that when we drive down the street and we see a house, we sort of assume that it's a family that lives there, and that there's mom and dad and two kids. That's not what America is. America has, I think the figure is about 27% of all the housing that we have, all the households that we have one person in them. Now, that person may be a young person, and more because of the baby boom, we're finding that these people are older people. And a person who lives alone, whether they're young or old, has safety problems, you know, just falling in the house. You know, when we think of falling in the house, we think, well, that's naturally a problem of an older person. Yes, it's more frequent with older people, but it's a danger to anyone who's living alone. We have all kinds of economic consequences. People living alone will buy a refrigerator. They may have a washing machine. The number of the size of your refrigerator is rarely a indication of the number of people living in the household. It isn't true that people living alone are going to have a smaller refrigerator than a family of four. Mm-hmm. So there's an economic aspect to this. Households as an economic entity are different from families. And when one quarter of all households are single person households, in effect, it's more expensive for them to buy that refrigerator because there's one income. Many families have two incomes and in fact have more money. And there's a lack of recognition in our society that we have large numbers of people who live alone. I'm not saying they're necessarily lonely, but mm-hmm. I'm saying that they are living alone and that there are consequences for living alone.
Well, Morton, these are interesting comments here and interesting things to think about here. We've been talking with Indiana economist, speaker, and writer Morton Marcus about some of his Eye on the Pie columns. We've got some others we'll pick up here.